Thoughts on Malachi, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 2. I used the title, I've used it before, I think, but. And what a but it is. You know, in the first verse we had this. See, I will send my messenger, who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly, the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. And then, chapter 3 of Malachi, verse 2, but, and there's the title. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? Malachi 3, 2. Huge expectations. You're desiring this Messiah. You're desiring this day of the Lord. You're desiring this kingdom. We have tremendous expectations. Oh, when the Messiah comes, he will put the politics right. Remember the Jews in Christ's day? They thought that he would get rid of the Romans. They would get back Solomon's kingdom. The temple would be risen again in power and vigor. Prosperity would come to Israel. It would be a tremendous military victory. Prosperity, Solomon's kingdom, politics, and all was grievously mistaken. Read the Gospels, read the early chapters of Acts, and you'll see they were expecting a very different kingdom. And they had to be disabused of it. But the prophet here is telling them, oh yeah, this Messiah is coming, but who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? You get the same, you see, in Amos. Let me read a few verses to you. Amos chapter 5, verse 18. Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion, only to be a bear, as though he entered this house and rested his hand on the wall, only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light? Pitch dark without a ray of brightness. I hate, I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies and so on. Let justice roll down like a river and so on. I wish you'd stop these things. Amos is saying the same as Malachi. Now, whatever view we take of this prophetical passage, we have to face the fact that the coming of the Christ was going to be a very different thing to what they expected. And I think the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, in his first coming I'm talking about, let alone his second, was very different to what many believers today think. I think we'd have to read Malachi chapter 3, verse 2, to say the Jews should have expected a Messiah who would conflict with the society in which they lived, collide with it, confront it, clash with it, and there'd be discord under his ministry. And if you read the Gospels, that's exactly what you find. And if you read the Acts, you'll find that's exactly what happened with the New Covenant preachers when they saw what the kingdom was. The kingdom is not power and victory and triumph and all these other things. It's weakness and suffering and the preaching of the gospel. Well, what about today, my friend? Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, is that the gospel Jesus? Christianity popular? The gospel popular with fallen man? How can it be? All one together, all happy together. It's a happy, buoyant, rejoicing spirit. I know there's joy in the gospel. I know there's sweetness in Christ. And I know there's delight in sins forgiven. But there is a strength about the gospel. There is a purity about the gospel. There is a discernment about the gospel. There is a discord in the gospel. There is a confrontation in the gospel. I think we need to heed these words. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? An unbeliever, if this is true of the first coming, what will it be like in the second coming? Who can stand? You won't be able to. Believers will scarcely be saved, and the righteous are scarcely saved. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 and on. Where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Oh, may God open our hearts to these solemn truths about Christ. Amen.